Welcome to the Journey of You, Reflections on Faith, Identity, and Becoming. I'm your host, Tonya D. Venice. This is a space to slow down, breathe deep, and tell the truth about where you've been, where you are, and who you're becoming. Here, your story is honored, but it does not define you. It becomes your testimony. Wherever you're listening from, you're invited to settle in. You don't have to rush this journey. You don't have to walk it alone. Today, I just want to remind you that God has not failed you yet, and He never will. Don't quit on God, because He's not going to quit on you. In the valley, on the mountaintop, in sorrow, in joy, in hurt, in pain, in lack, in plenty, in famine, in harvest, when you have cursings, when you have blessings, when there's birth, when there's death, Jesus is with you every step of the way. He understands, He sees, He knows, He chooses, He accepts, He loves you, me, all of us. And nothing can separate us from Him. So don't let go, no matter what reality looks like in front of you, even if you can't see it yet. Believe Him at His word anyway. You don't know how, when, where, why, or what, but you always know who. Your life is in His hands. Trust Him today. He's got you forever and always. One thing I was reminded of today, Pastor Stephen Furtick said, "With God, there's always a way. By faith, I will find it." And I was encouraged in that because oftentimes we are in the middle of a situation and our eyes get fixated on the storm. Much like when Peter was walking on water and he saw Jesus and he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter started walking on water. And as long as his eyes were stayed on God, he didn't have to worry about the storm around him. The fact that he was actually on water and could sink at any time. He wasn't worried about any of the animals in the sea that could have easily taken him out. None of that. His focus was on God. But as soon as he got distracted and diverted his eyes elsewhere, he began to sink. And Jesus had to reach out and pull him up. His faith faltered. Not that it completely went away, not that he just totally just lost it. But in that specific moment, his focus was not on Jesus. It was on the storm around him. And so today I want to remind you that Jesus is always with you. And that even when you're in the middle of a storm, you have to keep your focus on Him. And when you have a firm, solid foundation, you can be anchored to Jesus, who is our rock. He is our anchor. He is our everything, that no matter come hell or high water that's going on around you, you can still focus on Jesus. You can still have peace and joy. The very things that He said, that He will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And you're like, "Oh man, I just went through all this stuff. How in the world am I feeling this?" It's because of Him, because your identity, your everything is tied to Him, that you know that things in the world can happen. Life can change from in the blink of an eye. From moment to moment, life happens. We have no control over those things. But what we can control is our response and our trust in Jesus. We've got to go back and remember the words that He promised us. His word is full of so many promises. And He said that it would not return to Him void. We've got to remind ourselves in those moments of those promises. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. So when he's trying to distract you and take away your focus, or trying to get you, you know, off kilter where you're worried and fearful and anxious and stressed, that's where the enemy wants you to be. Because that's when you're like Peter, walking on the water, and all of a sudden you're looking at the storm around you and you begin to sink. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to take your eyes and mind off of Jesus. But there's power in your words. I even think about, like, today in church, they brought up Moses. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but several times Moses had to strike the rock in order for water to come out so that he could feed everyone in the wilderness. And this particular time, Jesus said, "I want you to speak to the rock, because there's power of life and death in the tongue." Okay.
Another scripture I want y'all to remember. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Our entire world was created just from God speaking. He spoke it into existence and it happened. Because Jesus lives inside of us, we have that same power to speak things into the atmosphere, to bind and to loose. And so he told Moses in this particular moment to go ahead and speak to the rock so that the water would come out. And you'll actually find that in Numbers 20, verse 10. And Moses was mad. He was frustrated and upset. And so he decided to strike the rock twice instead. When Moses did that, one, it was disobedient to what God told him to do. And every single action has a consequence, good or bad. And because Moses chose to do it in his own strength and disobeyed God, it kept him from going in the promised land. After he had done all the things that he needed to do to bring everybody out of Egypt and to take them through the wilderness so they could get to the promised land, that one act of disobedience cost him from going in. And it was because he tried to do it in his own strength. He was mad and frustrated. I'm sure he was overwhelmed and tired by this point because he had been pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and the people were just not listening. And God wanted to show his peace in that moment. So he wanted Moses to just speak to the rock. But Moses struck it twice. And so he had a consequence. The water still came out. God still showed up and did what he was supposed to do. But Moses tried to do it in his own strength. How often today are you trying to do things in your own strength? That, you know, maybe you need to flee from a relationship. Maybe there's a certain business that you need to close or a job that you need to walk away from. Maybe there's a friendship that the door needs to be closed on, or a certain part of your life that you need to close a chapter, but you still keep trying to figure it out. Maybe there's a certain thing you want to start, or, you know, a door that you want to be open and it's not opening in your time. And so you're trying to make it happen, trying to force things, and it just keeps seeming like you keep hitting a dead end. You keep getting hit up against a wall and nothing is happening. Today, I ask you to try Jesus, to trust him, to stop trying to do it in your own might, to stop trying to figure out the how, the why, the where, the what, the when, and just trust Jesus. He's the who. Just trust him. When you don't know any of those answers and you don't know which way to go or what to do, all you've got to do is try Jesus. Trust him. Pray to him. Tell him what you're feeling, what you're up against. If it's disappointment, if it's hurt, if it's pain, if you're feeling like you're not enough, or, you know, that this door should be opened by now, or this should have happened by now, help him to give you peace in the moment that you're in, that you are right where you're supposed to be right now today. As long as you have breath in your body and a beat in your heart, there's still purpose for you and there's still opportunity for you to fulfill it. But you've got to sit still long enough to hear God's voice, to silence the voices of everyone else, of the news, of TV, of social media, your friends and this person and that person, and even the enemy and your own inner turmoils of how you view yourself. You've got to silence all of that to be able to hear God's voice so that he can start removing the different lenses and experiences that are clouding your judgment and your viewpoint, so that you can see that with him all things are possible, so that you can see that God's never left you. He's never failed you one time in your whole life, and that he's not going to start failing you now. But it's in his strength and his might, not yours. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His resources are endless. He can easily make a switch or a change just like that, and things will line up the way that they're supposed to. But you've got to be in line with his will, and you've got to trust him, and you've got to want him more than you want that thing, more than you want that specific role, more than you want that specific income, that certain car, certain house, or this specific person, or this specific relationship, or this specific whatever it is that you need to fill in the blank, that's the very thing that you just strive for, and you're like, I have to have it, have to have it, have to have it. You don't need to have anything more than you need to have God. Nothing in this world matters more. Nothing. Not one thing you can think of, not one thing you can think of owning or doing or going after is more important than your pursuit of God. He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You've often heard me translate it in this way, that you must first love God, love yourself, and love others, always in that order. And that is so true. You have to want God more than you want anything else. You have to know in the very depths of your soul that nothing matters more than your relationship with Him and your love for Him. From there, you've got to love yourself. You've got to know that you are God's masterpiece, that He treasures and loves and adores you. Salvation is free to you. It was not free to Jesus. He gave up His very life. He who was without sin took on sin for each and every one of us so that we could now be free. And He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So right now, the salvation to you is free because Jesus gave up His life, because He loved you that much. So don't you dare believe the lies of the enemy, because you truly are loved, you are chosen, and you are accepted. Every single ounce of blood that Jesus shed on that cross was for you because He loved you, because He chose you, and because He accepted you. So nothing can take away that truth. Nothing can separate you from that love. No matter what lies the enemy tries to tell you, nothing can change that. You have to go back to the Word and read out loud the things that God says. If you don't know it fully in your heart yet, open up your Bible and read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And in this season, in this time, as we lead up towards resurrection and the anniversary of Jesus' death on the cross, you've got to think about what He went through right now in real life 2024 years ago, just so that He could save you. Every single one of us matter to God. He left the 99 for the one. That means each and every one of us matters to Him. Your life matters. You are still here for a reason. So if you can hear this message, know that Jesus loves you and He has a purpose for you. Even if you can't see it right now, you woke up today for a reason. And you can keep spending each day figuring out what that is by just drawing closer and closer to Him, praying to Him, even when you're hurting, even when it's tough, even when nothing is going the way you think it should. He still deserves your honor, your glory, and your praise, because He paid it all for you. So no matter what you feel like you're missing out on, or even if you're having to rob Peter to pay Paul, or if you're not sure what to do in this moment, in that moment, or even how you're going to feed yourself or your kids later today, Jesus knows what you need and He will take care of you. So you still got to honor and praise Him. So in the moments that you don't know what to do, just say the name of Jesus. Pray to Him, cry out, surrender everything, pour out everything in you onto Him. I promise you, I'm telling you from experience, that God will pour into you. He will give you the peace that you need. He will give you the joy that He promises. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God's got you. He loves you. He loves every part of you. All you've got to do is be willing to just repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I love you. I want to do life with you. Lead and guide me in the directions you want me to go. It is that simple. And He will come right alongside you and walk with you. The last thing that I want to bring up is a point that they brought to light again in church today, was that Peter messed up and Judas messed up. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Okay? The money mattered more to him in that moment. And God already told us we can't serve two masters, because you will love the one and hate the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. That's why it's impossible for you to love two people at the same time. And I don't mean like you love your mom or your dad and you love your kids. I mean, it's impossible for you to have two love interests at the same time, because you're going to love one and hate the other, and to be devoted to one and despise the other. It's not possible for your human heart to have the same kind of unconditional love for two people at the same time. And so you have to choose. And God says the same thing. You have to choose with Him. Well, Peter messed up because he denied Christ three times. What's baffling about that is that he knew, God revealed to him, that Jesus was definitely the Son of God, the promised Messiah. He knew it. He watched Him do miracles. I mean, my goodness, Peter walked on water. Clearly he knew who Jesus was. But in those moments after he was arrested and his world was shaken and he was stuck, his faith was also, he had doubt. And so he denied Him three times. which Jesus told him beforehand. But as soon as the rooster crowed, immediately Peter started crying and he repented and was like, God, I'm sorry. He knew to repent. He had that willingness. And so because of that, he knew that he was covered and he was able to still move forward. There is therefore now no condemnation to him who belongs to Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he took away the condemnation. He took away the shame, the guilt, the sin. You do not have to live in bondage anymore. What messed up Judas after that is he still could have said, Lord, I'm sorry. He still could have repented and been covered, but he stayed in condemnation, which is where the enemy wants you to stay. And I'm telling you right now today, you don't have to stay condemned. You don't have to stay stuck any longer. Jesus set you free, and he, again, who the Son sets free, is free indeed. You can be free right now today. You don't have to be condemned. The part that's crazy is that Jesus is the only one who can judge. He's the only one who has the power over your body and your soul. Men only have power over your body. Yeah, true. Someone could take your life, but nobody can touch your soul. No one. And so who you are on the inside, you've got to see yourself the way that God sees you. And you are covered by the blood. And Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you. He's praying on your behalf and covering you. So when God looks at you, he sees you through Jesus. That's the lens he's looking at. So you're covered by the blood. So you don't have to walk around holding on to that shame or condemnation. Yeah, you made a mistake. Great. We all did. Not one person on this earth is perfect. Not one. We have all failed. Every single day we sin. It could be in a thought. It could be in an act. It could be in something you say to someone else. There's lots of different ways. You could cheat on a test, or you could, you know, again, take money from somebody to go give it to somebody else. There's lots of different ways that people sin. So don't think that your sin is any greater than the next person or the next person. All of us have sinned and fallen short. But in Jesus, you can be made whole and you can be set free. It all comes down to whether or not you're willing to repent and turn from the things that you've been doing. Every day you wake up, you've got to die to self, in terms of you've got to bring your flesh into subjection and say, God, help me today to make the right decision. And you just win 24 hours at a time. You take it day by day. His grace is sufficient for what you need right now today. So you don't worry about tomorrow. You don't worry about yesterday. You focus on winning today and ask God to walk with you step by step, because he's already right there anyway. He's omnipresent. Everywhere you go, he's right there. Everything you think, he's right there with you. So all you've got to do now is just reach out and ask him to help you. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge him and to speak his word out of your mouth, because again, there's power of life and death in the tongue. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we are no longer bound by sin and death, that we're no longer stuck under condemnation, shame, guilt, that you're here with us, Lord, that you sacrificed your son. You gave up everything so that we could be free. So we thank you for the freedom that we have in you, Lord. We thank you for the peace, the joy, the unconditional love. Thank you that we're chosen, accepted, validated, that we have your approval, and that is the only one that we need. Help each and every person listening, Lord, to know that when they get to a point that they know that the only approval that matters is yours, then you show up, Father, and help them to become everything that you've created them to be. Then they can hit the ground running and their gift makes room for them, because they know that they're only performing each and every day for an audience of one, and that is you, Lord. Help them to know that as long as they've got your vote, everything else is going to fall into place, because you said to seek you first in the kingdom of heaven and all your righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So thank you, Father, that we have that freedom in you, that each and every time that we're in trouble or we're up against something or we're in the middle of a storm, that we can look to the hills from whence comes our help, because our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you, Father, that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, Lord, that each and every person listening, no matter what their need is right now, Father, that you have the resources that they need to meet them right where they're at, Lord. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Father, for your salvation. Thank you for your guidance, your love, your support, Lord. Thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Father, that each and everything that is needed, Father, you already know it. All we have to do is ask you and trust you in it. Thank you that whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thank you for helping us to know the power that we hold of life and death in our tongue. Help us to use it wisely, Lord, because we will eat the fruit thereof of the words that we speak. So help us to choose wisely what we're going to say, Lord, and to choose ye this day whom we will serve, Father. Thank you, Lord, that it will be you, and that we'll get to spend an eternity with you, Father, and that with every breath, we're able to give you praise and share the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you each and every one this week, read your word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, a study to show yourself approved, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to know it for yourself. Get in there and read it. Ask God to show you where to start. If you have the Bible app, there's a verse of the day every single day that you can start with that. There are devotionals and different Bible plans that you can do that also walk you through it. If you just want to look up, what is a scripture on anxiety? What is a scripture on stress? What is a scripture on worry, fear, money? Whatever the thing is that you're dealing with right now, Google what scriptures are on that. And then don't just take Google's word for it. When Google spits out 10 or 15 verses, go and pick two or three that you look up for yourself and read it and find out for yourself what it says and ask God to reveal it to you, what it means for you in this moment and this season, because his word, it's alive, y'all. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm telling you that it will help you. There's power in it. If you just start speaking that one verse that he leads you to out loud every day until you get it down in your heart, again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Find the word that you need right now in this moment and run after it with everything that is within your being. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for spending this time with me on the journey of you. If today's reflection resonated, you're welcome to continue the conversation with me on Substack, where I share written reflections and podcast updates. You can find me at toniadbenis.substack.com. Thank you for being here.